All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton here to be with you to dig deeper into the book of Deuteronomy this week, looking at the first part of Deuteronomy chapter 2. As we pick up from last week and God telling the people to turn around back towards the Red Sea and to begin your journey that way. So we pick up with the first 25 verses of chapter 2 this week. Then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea, as the Lord told me. And for many days we traveled around Mount Seir. Then the Lord said to me, "You have been traveling around this mountain country long enough. Turn northward and command the people. You are about to pass through the territory of your brothers, the people of Esau, who live in Seir. And they will be afraid of you, so be very careful. Do not contend with them, for I will not give you any of their land. No, not so much as for the sole of the foot to tread on, because I have given Mount Seir to Esau as a possession. You shall purchase food from them with money that you may eat, and you shall buy water from them with money that you may drink. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He knows you're going through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you, you have lacked nothing." So we went on, away from our brothers, the people of Esau, who live in Seir, away from the Arabah road from Elath to Ezion-Geber. And we turned and went in the direction of the wilderness of Moab. And the Lord said to me, "Do not harass Moab or contend with them in battle, for I will not give you any of their land for possession, because I have given Ar to the people of Lot for possession. The Emim formerly lived there, a people great and many, and as tall as the Anakim. Like the Anakim, they also are counted as Rephaim, but the Moabites called them Emim. The Horites also lived in Seir formerly, but the people of Esau dispossessed them and destroyed them before them and settled in their place, as Israel did to the land of their possession, which the Lord gave to them. Now rise up and go over the brook Zered." So we went over the brook Zered. And the time for our leaving Kadesh Barnea until we crossed the brook Zered was 38 years, until the entire generation, that is, the men of war, had perished from the camp, as the Lord had sworn to them. For indeed, the hand of the Lord was against them, to destroy them from the camp until they had perished. So as soon as all the men of war had perished and were dead from among the people, the Lord said to me, "Today you are to cross the border of Moab at Ar. And when you approach the territory of the people of Ammon, do not harass them or contend with them, for I will not give any of the land of the people of Ammon as a possession, because I have given it to the sons of Lot for a possession." And it also counted as a land of Rephaim. Rephaim formerly lived there, but the Ammonites called them Zemzumim, a people great and many, and as tall as the Anakim. But the Lord destroyed them before the Ammonites, and they dispossessed them and settled in their place. As he did for the people of Esau who live in Seir, when he destroyed the Horites before them, and they dispossessed them and settled in their place even to this day. As for the Avim, who lived in villages as far as Gaza, the Kephartim, who come from Kaphtor, destroyed them and settled in their place. Rise up, set out on your journey, and go over the valley of the Arnon. Behold, I have given you into your hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to take possession and contend with him in battle. This day I will begin to put the dread and fear of you on the peoples who are under the whole heavens, who shall hear the report of you and shall tremble and be in anguish because of you. All right, a lot of verses this week and a lot of history to go through, but here it is. The 38 years between the leaving of Kadesh Barnea after they had been told that they were not going to inherit the land at that time, they had spent many days there, possibly upwards of 2 years, according to all the chronology here. But now we have the people going into the wilderness, beginning their journeys and their wanderings around for that 38 years. But as we begin to look at our text this week, we see a very key focus that is likely overlooked in just a cursory reading of the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, it was "you did, you did, you did." This is all about you. Verse 1 of chapter 2, "Then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea." Moses puts himself in their place, in with them, because, again, he also is not able to enter the promised land just like the rest of that generation. So we have now, instead of "you did this, you did that," "we did this, we did that." Moses is now putting himself alongside those who have been denied access to the promised land. Now, Numbers 14:25 gets us back on the journey here. Now, since the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valleys, turn tomorrow and set out for the wilderness by the way to the Red Sea. So again, we have that whole going out to the Red Sea, just as God told him, not only in verse 1, but verse 37 of last week, looking at all of these things. And now we get to the end of that journeying. In verse 2, then the Lord said to me, you have been traveling around this mountain country long enough. You've been here long enough. It is time for you to go and be ready to take possession of the land that I am willing to give you. So we go north, and you're going to go through Edom. You're going to go through Seir, the place where the people of Esau, your cousins, live. Do not contend with them, for I will not give any of their land. No, not so much as for the sole of the foot to tread on, because I have given Mount Seir to Esau as a possession. Just as I have promised you the land on the other side, so also I have promised them this portion. And this is the main thing that we talk about this week, is that even though Esau was not the brother that was chosen to bring about the great nation, to bring about the Messiah, Esau still has a blessing and a place from God. And we see this also when Jacob and Esau are reunited after many years of Jacob being in Laban's place after having stolen Esau's birthright. That Esau's like, I've got plenty of stuff. I don't need yours as well. God has blessed me, even though I do not have the blessing that you do. So this is, you may go through their land. I am going to have you go through by the main road. You may buy food and water to eat and drink, but do not molest them. Do not contend with them. Do not trouble them. So they went. They get through Mount Seir, verse 9. And the Lord said to me, do not harass Moab or contend with them in battle. Again, for I will not give you any of their land for possession, because I have given Ar to the people of Lot for possession. What Moses says in verses 2 through 9 of this, as we begin this part, that the land idea and the promises of God are completely different in the scriptures as well as in ancient Near East thought, because you have the idea that local gods ruled peoples and their lands. Moses shows that one universal God is responsible for the creation of all people, and that he determines the land that is granted to each of them. Paul states this in the same way at the Areopagus in Acts 17:26. From one man, he made every nation of mankind to live under the entire face of the earth. He determined the appointed times and the boundaries where they would live. So it's not the God of the Edomites have given them this one, the God of the Moabites, the God of the Ammonites, the Horites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, all of these local gods. No, it is not them who gave them this land. It is the Lord, the God of all of the heavens and the earth. So what does this look like in Numbers? Well, we have this in Numbers chapter 20, starting in verse 14. Moses sent messengers from Kadesh to the king of Edom. Thus says your brother Israel, you know all the hardship that we have met, how our fathers went down to Egypt, and we lived in Egypt a long time. And the Egyptians dealt harshly with us and our fathers. And when we cried to the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel and brought us out of Egypt. And here we are in Kadesh, a city on the edge of your territory. Please let us pass through the land. We will not pass through field or vineyard or drink water from a well. We will go along the king's highway. We will not turn aside to the right hand or to the left until we have passed through your territory. But Edom said to him, you shall not pass through, lest I come out with the sword against you. And the people of Israel said to him, we will go up by the highway. And if we drink of your water, I and my livestock, then I will pay for it. Let me only pass through on foot, nothing more. But he said, you shall not pass through. And Edom came out against them with a large army and with a strong force. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his territory. So Israel turned away from him. So yes, we go through, and it says, God says, go through the king's highway. And you know, do not pass, turn to the left, to the right, just go straight through. Edom says, you're not coming in. I don't care if you're saying that you're just going to pass through and you're going to the other side. You shall not pass. And so Israel turns around. Israel goes around Mount Seir to the other side where Moab is located. And then we have here in verses 10 through 12 of Deuteronomy chapter 2, parenthetical note, just trying to bring about all the things going on here with especially Moab. Now, the Emim formerly lived there, you know, just as tall as Anakim. Like the Anakim, they are also counted as Rephaim, which is a whole class of different races that typically had giants in them. And this all comes back from the pre-flood days where the sons of God and the daughters of men would come together and they would have those who would become the mighty men, or, you know, as we consider them, the giants of the land. So they come by many names in the scriptures, and especially here in Deuteronomy chapter 2. You have the Horites, who had been in Seir formerly, but Esau booted them out and destroyed them and settled in their place, just as Israel did. Here again, the verb tense is absolutely wonderful. Verse 12, as Israel did to the land of their possession. They're not there yet in Deuteronomy, but it's just as good as having been done because God has promised it. Now we move on to verse 13. Rise up and go over the brook Zered. So we got up and we went over the brook Zered. And so the 38 years from the time of leaving Kadesh Barnea until crossing the brook Zered, until the entire generation, that is the men of war, had perished from the camp. For indeed, the hand of God was against them to destroy them from the camp until they had perished. He promised not one of them would enter his rest. And this verb, destroy, you know, this is the same verb that was used in Exodus 14 about the waters crushing the Egyptians in the middle of the Red Sea. His promised defeat of the Canaanites in Exodus 23. So God treated the rebellious Israelites just like his foes, because rebelling against God makes you his foe. Now, verse 16 is a very wonderful little tidbit here. So as soon as all the men of war had perished and were dead from among the people. When does all this happen? When is this situation in Deuteronomy where they are on, you know, on the plains on the east side? This is when Moses is the last one left. Moses is the only one left that is not crossing the Jordan River into the Promised Land. When the last person dies from that generation, the Lord said to me, today you are to cross the border of Moab at Ar. And when you approach the territory of the people of Ammon, do not harass them or contend with them. For, again, I will not give you any of the land of the people of Ammon as a possession, because I have given it to the sons of Lot for an inheritance. So we have here a third time that God has said, you will not have any of their land, because I have given it to them as an inheritance. You have Edom being given to Esau. You have Moab being given to the sons of Lot. And now you have Ammon being given to the sons of Lot. So this brings us to going back to Genesis 19, where we have the sons of Lot being born. So this is shortly after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis 19, starting in verse 30. Now Lot went up out of Zoar and lived in the hills with his two daughters, for he was afraid to live in Zoar. So he lived in a cave with his two daughters. And the firstborn said to the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man on earth to come into us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that he may preserve offspring for our father. So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father. He did not know when she lay down or when she arose. The next day the firstborn said to the younger, Behold, I lay last night with my father. Let us make him drink wine tonight also, and then you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve offspring from our father. So they made their father drink that wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus both the daughters of Lot became pregnant by their father. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. The younger also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the Ammonites to this day. So we have here again this using of true sin and sin of some of the worst kind of basically forcing their father to become blackout drunk, committing incest with him, and bearing children by him. And this is where the Moabites and the Ammonites come about. But God shows them mercy. God shows them compassion by giving them an inheritance as well. And so he tells the Israelites, no, as you are going through, you do not contend with them. You do not fight them. That's not yours. And so in verse 20 through 23, another parenthetical note of historical information that we're reminded that the land of Canaan wasn't a vacant lot. You know, there were people there. And this busy corner, especially as we see from 20 to 23 and all the people of being dispossessed by this people and that people, this has been fought over for centuries before Israel arrived. Various nations possessed it and dispossessed others. If Israel had no purpose other than occupying the land for their own advantage, she'd be no different than the other nations that emerged in history for a time before disappearing forever. But God wished to use Israel as a magnet to attract the surrounding people to himself. The Lord gave Israel the true function of being a priestly nation, to serve as his go-between between God and the rest of the world. This is what Israel is set up to do in the Promised Land. This is why we have the Edomites, the Moabites, the Ammonites, who are not displaced. But you have the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Girgashites, and all the rest of the ites that are in the Promised Land that God has said, no, you will destroy them. There is the difference. They will not have compassion. They will not receive the blessing of the Lord. So then we have again the journeying through Ammon. It says, Rise up, set out on your journey, and go over the valley of the Arnon. Behold, I have given into your hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to take possession and contend with him in battle. This day I will begin to put the dread and fear of you on the peoples who are under the whole heaven, and who shall hear the report of you and shall tremble and be in anguish because of you. So now we've had Edom, we've had Moab, we've had Ammon. Do not contend with them. Now we have Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, who we will see more of next week. But here we have the beginning of what had been promised to the Israelites in Egypt. Because in Exodus 15, in the song of Miriam and the children of Israel on the east side of the Red Sea, they say, The peoples have heard, they tremble, pangs have seized the inhabitants of Philistia. Now are the chiefs of Edom dismayed, trembling seizes the leaders of Moab. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them because of the greatness of your arm. They are still as a stone to your people, O Lord, pass by, to the people pass by whom you have purchased. So So we have this promise of the fear of the Israelites. And that is exactly what happens, as we see in Joshua chapter 2, as Rahab hides the spies that have been sent into Jericho. I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. So we have here this great testimony of Rahab that brings about that promise. You know, the fulfillment is there. The people of Jericho, the people of the land of Canaan, are scared of the Israelites because they have heard what happened 40 years before at the Red Sea. They heard what has happened just recently over on the other side of the Jordan to the Amorites, to Sihon and Og, who we will talk about over the next 2 weeks. They have heard and they're afraid because they understand they're next. And nobody wants to be standing in that position where they know they are the next to be conquered with no hope. That is why they melted away. That is why there's not a spirit left in a man in Jericho. And which is why, among all the other signs, you have the destruction of Jericho coming, not because of war, but from marching around the city, showing that God is doing it all. All right, that is it for this week as we have gone through and set up for the next couple of weeks as we talk about the east side of the Jordan and that part of the conquest of the Promised Land. Hope for you to be here for that as we talk about Sihon next week and King Og the next week. But until then, this is Pastor Doug Minton thanking you for being here, for digging deeper with me into the book of Deuteronomy. And I pray that it has equipped you to wrestle with the theologies around you and to be strong in the promise of the Lord. Amen.